The following is a podcast from Live It, a ministry of St. Marcus. For more information or for message notes, go to www.liveitmke.org.
You would put in as the three legs to Christian education. And I gave you a little hint, but I found it earlier. The letters just threw people off. I want you to think about the three partners that go together for Christian education. And the way I list them, they start with an S, an S, and a P. Do you have it in your mind? Now what I want you to do, when I count to three, I want you to tell your guesses to the person next to you. Or if no one's sitting next to you, like poor Pastor Hine, you can just think about it yourself. Ready? One, two, three. Well, I know you're following my cue because I can hear all the sibilants. I can hear all the S's out there. And there are some different ways to list it because some of the similar words start with S's. So here's how I list, and this isn't in priority order. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But the first leg is scholars. That's kind of a St. Marcus way of saying students. So if you said students, you're in, you're doing well. They have a responsibility. Students, if they're motivated and into education and they're going to do their job, it's a big deal in this three-legged stool. The second S is the school. That could be the teachers. So if you maybe said, where are the teachers in this? Or the faculty, you maybe wanted a different letter. It's the school. It's an institution. It's St. Marcus School in that. And the final one is the parents, mom or dad. And particularly when it comes to God's word, it's the dads that have the primary responsibility. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, but bring them up in the nurture and instruction of the Lord. We say at St. Marcus, Christian education has those three legs, and in a three-legged stool, you lose any one, you're kind of in trouble. You start to fall, you have to really work on balancing. And St. Marcus, I've heard them say, you know, as long as you have two of these, you can still accomplish quite a bit. You know, if you have a student and the school motivated to learn, and if a parent isn't available for whatever reason, the student can still learn. Or if you have a parent and the teachers that agree. If adults agree, children win. Sometimes I say if adults agree, children lose. They lose their argument, and good things happen, and that's awesome. But I do think, biblically, there's something wrong with this particular diagram, because in that diagram, it looks like those legs are about the same. Like they're equally as important. They're all important, and you want them all, and we're going to work on all of them together to make sure we have the best stool of Christian education. But I think God's word points out that one of them is primary and one of them is most important. And that's something that as the school got together this year in the summer, we said we need to reemphasize because maybe we've lost it a little bit, that this is really the prime place for Christian education. You see, Christian education at St. Marcus goes back 140 years plus, but Christian education goes back a lot further than that. It started with Adam and Eve. After they learned about their sin, they also learned about the promise of a Savior and how God was going to send someone born of a woman to crush the serpent's head. And as soon as someone was born of that woman, it was their job to say, hey, God promised to save us from our sin. You know how this world isn't working right? God promised. And they told the story, and that was the first Christian education because it was pointing to Christ. And there wasn't a school involved. It was the family. We're going to follow up a little later in the time of Moses, about 3,500 years ago, where we see some taxonomies and instructions for Christian education. Again, pointing people to Christ, but it doesn't involve an institution like we have at St. Marcus. Let's take a look at it. Again, if you want to, I'll be on the screen for you if you want to grab your own Bible or your phone and go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to look at a lot of verses, but I'm taking some out of the middle. It says, impress them, this is God's law. We're going to hit that description later. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Who are these verses talking to that have the prime responsibility for Christian education? Which one of the three legs is it? It's the parents. Yeah, if you're a parent, maybe you got a little nervous on that. Yeah. And if you look at the words here and the verbs and what you're supposed to do, you see, yeah, active. Parents are being active here. And first, impress. I like that word, impress. As a parent of six kids myself now, all that have graduated from St. Marcus School, you want to make an impression on your kid. And here's what I think of when I think of an impression. Now, I have five teenage kids. One just turned 20 today. And so they drive my car around. They drive my car around, and they take my minivan, and they want to drive in to the grocery store into the parking garage, but there's a concrete post right there. And guess what? They made an impression on my van. And guess what? It's still there. You know, when you do that as a teenager, you hope it just kind of pops out. You know, when you see your daughter out there with a plunger trying to make it come out, just trying, that's a sign that they're hoping it doesn't last. But when it comes to what you want to do with your kids, you want to make a dent in their soul, a dent in their head that lasts forever, so deep that when they're old, they won't turn from it. You want to make an impression, something that sticks. And the Word of God, power of baptism is what can do that. And then notice that there isn't like a daytime, an 8 in the morning to 3 o'clock structure for this Christian education. You do it all the time. The best Christian education happens when you're not expecting it. It's when kids are watching you. In fact, there tends to be an almost bad effect if kids learn one thing at a certain time, like this is for students, but when they go home, they see something that doesn't jibe with that. They kind of learn that Christian education or this Jesus stuff is for school, or this Jesus stuff is for when we're kids. And guess what they do when they get out of school and they leave that Christian education environment in a school? They start acting the way their parents were. That's what happens so often. I see that. That's what occurs. That's why Moses is saying all the time, whatever you're doing, walking around, you're teaching Jesus. Your kids are watching you. If you have kids, they're watching you all the time. They're listening to you all the time. They're spies. They see everything. And you want them to see Christ. And then in verses 8 and 9, some taxonomy, some teaching techniques that are great in the classroom. St. Marcus School, if you go into a classroom, especially the younger kids' classrooms, but in middle school too, you walk in and the rooms are all busy, all over the walls, all the wall cards and pictures and all this stuff going on, because they found out that when kids are sitting there and they're listening to one lesson, they're learning from what's on the wall over there. So you put the most important things so they walk by them all the time. And that's Christian education. A big reason, a big encouragement, if you're a parent, get some pictures of Jesus up. Get what you want your kids to learn and know. Put it up all over the place. Wear it. Use it. See it. Show it. They're watching 24/7. And that's Christian education. So the most important leg, as you said, is parents. Big responsibility. It's in our school handbook. Sometimes St. Marcus School forgets that. Sometimes we say, we know the school, we can trust the school, we have a scholar here, and it's, well, the parents, well, we need them or we don't need them, whatever, we can make it work. And this summer we said, we got to make sure that we don't forget, this is really the primary group. So here's where my K4 art comes on in. I couldn't find a stool picture the way I wanted to, but I wanted to adjust it and show you what I think the stool should look more like. How's my art? So... primary, the big leg on the stool, right in the middle of the stool is the parent. So you really could rest just on that. And let me tell you, some of the best Christian education I've ever seen is parents who do it all. They're homeschooling their kids, they're doing it all, and they raise their kids, and their kids see them all the time, and they do it. That's awesome. But parents, and if you're a parent like me, and I think I'm a pretty good parent, my wife is a spectacular parent, but we still so much appreciate the partnership we got in a Christian school at St. Marcus, because they could teach them and show them some things that we couldn't. They could show slices of being a Christian man or woman that my wife and I aren't. And so we appreciate that partnership, but it's not as essential. And even the kids, they have responsibility, but boy, if parents are driven and they got the Word of God, all the tools are there. So we want to keep that prime responsibility and put it on there and appreciate the role that we do have as a school, as a partner. And how, when, if parents aren't there, and that is at St. Marcus School, sometimes we have amazing parents, but sometimes parents can't help, or it's a single parent with a lot of kids, they have a lot of things to do, and that's where they might need to lean a little bit more on that school and provide a little more help. And our job as a church and a school is to give that help, to make sure it's there, to provide it when the parents need it. So that's my picture of the three-legged stool of Christian education, but I got to tell you, I'm only talking about the legs so far. The most important part of the stool isn't just the legs. If you just have the legs and you try to sit down, oh, that just seems painful, doesn't it? What's the most important part of the stool? It's the seat. You got to have the seat to sit on. And that's the key to Christian education. It really isn't the parents or the school or scholars, because they could mess all that up. They could do a great job of educating nothing of real value. The seat, that shows up in a verse before. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Maybe familiar verses. Maybe once along the time your parents or some teachers forced you to memorize them. If they did, thank them in your mind and thank God for them. Verse 4 is the creed. That is the Old Testament creed. The Jews would learn this. I even was forced to learn it in seminary. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And you'll even hear Jews today still chanting, Echad, Echad, Echad. That's their creed, because they're proclaiming who their Lord is. And for the Old Testament believers, the Lord, with all caps, was God's name. His promising, loving, I'm going to give you the Savior. I'm the God who promised to Adam and Eve. I'm the one who's going to keep promises to your kids and your kids' kids and all them. That's who I am. I'm one. I am the Lord, your God. Know me. That's the creed. And then verse 5 is the commandments. To love God with everything you have, and you show that by loving everyone around you with all that you have. This matches our school mission statement, that we want people to be disciples of Christ now and for all eternity, and to train for excellence in their roles. That's what we're talking about. So it's really key that whether you're a parent or a Christian school, you can teach math and manners and all that, but you have to teach them that Jesus died for them and he rose again. That's the core of it all. And it's so easy somehow to let that slide out. It's really easy to say, I think they got that. I think they need something that's really practical today. Oh, they got that. And so Satan works on Christian schools and Christian families all the time to take that part away. And maybe you know that lots of the best educational institutions like Harvard and Yale and Princeton and a whole bunch of other schools started as Christian schools with their main and sole purpose to train workers for Jesus. But then slowly little things, oh, we'll have this program that doesn't do that. And, well, this doesn't have to focus on Jesus so much. And now if you walk onto Harvard's campus, and I have walked on Harvard's campus on a Discover America trip with our scholars from St. Marcus, it's really hard to find any Jesus unless it was written in stone and they couldn't get rid of it. And Satan wants to do that to St. Marcus School. He wants to do that to every Christian school, and he's going to try again and again, because Satan loves schools as long as they don't have the Lord in them. And laws are not training people to love the Lord their God. He loves schools to train people to do something else. That's where we're called again every year to renew our zeal and say, we got to make sure this is Christian education and we got to work hard. We have to very carefully investigate what we're doing, and teachers and staff and parents need to look at it, because it's tough. It's so easy to slip away. The seat is the Lord. That's the key. Jesus died for me in school chapels. I'll make kids hold up four hands. I don't see a lot of our scholars here. I think they all went to our 10:30, just a couple scholars here. But I teach them all how to put up four fingers so that even if I mess up and have a really bad chapel, they say, Jesus died for me, amen. Because I can mess the whole thing else up, but as long as they got that, I want to make sure that they get it. Our verse then tells us, how can we work on that? How can we keep this stool strong? These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God, as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy a long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. That's an amazing gospel promise. Christian education, when parents teach their kids about Jesus, when as a community we come together and help one another raise our kids in Jesus, just amazing things are promised for our own families, for our children's children, for our community, for our land, it's key that we don't just go through the motions. We look at verse 6. These commandments, God's word needs to be on your heart. We need to work on those things. So a big statement to kind of summarize this, the stronger the connection to the seat, the stronger the stool and the greater the impact on your community and future. So what I mean is when you have a stool, you can have a really solid stool, seat, solid wood, and you can have really solid legs, but you know where most of those stools break, right? The ones I've broken, is that they start to get loose, right? Have you ever sat on a stool, you're like, whoa, I don't know if this is very safe, but you never get around to fix it? You just kind of let it wiggle because you think it's strong enough? Well, eventually it's going to break. So the key, the call to action for us today as St. Marcus, as parents, as teachers, as members, as community, is to say our chief job is to make sure that each leg is connected to the seat as strong as possible. And that happens by the means of grace. So our scholars, we need to make sure they're taking in God's word, that in their class, at home, they have all the tools, and we're giving them God's word all the time. It's not just a school thing. Again, sometimes, unfortunately, with great institutions like a Christian school, parents can say, great, the school's got the education of my kids. I don't have to do anything. No, you want to make that connection as strong as possible. Make sure Jesus is there. When it comes to the teachers, we don't want just good teachers or teachers that are great at education. We want them to be as connected to Jesus as possible, overflowing. And that's why, as a church, we constantly say, oh, our teachers, as much of God's word as you got, you need even more. And we encourage them to be in worship and Bible study and do that. And every once in a while, pastors have tough conversations with teachers. Why? Because Christian education doesn't work unless teachers are connected to God's word. That's the key. And then finally, parents. Parents need to be connected to God's word. And that's probably the toughest one. You can come into St. Marcus any day and you can see 950 kids learning about Jesus. You can see the teachers and they're working with God's word, and we can have, you know, we pay them. We can say, you need to do these things. But parents, that's the tough work. And that's why at St. Marcus, we're so happy that we have a church and school combined working together, because the church can specialize in reaching those families. That's why I'm so excited that Pastor Lyer was installed last week, and we have a bunch of pastors, so we can do that better. Because if you're really going to bless the kids and do Christian education right, you can't leave out the parents. And that's why at St. Marcus, we have volunteers, and we call up, and we talk to parents, and we invite them to get their kids baptized, and for the adults to get into Bible study and get connected to God's word and be active and involved. Because if we get them to be in God's word, that's really going to bless their kids. We don't want to see a child get trained in Jesus and then follow and disappear. We want them and their Christian education to last. Now, I own a few stools, but they're all kind of junky, but this failed totally at 2:00 when I delivered the message, so I'll see if this is a different crowd. On the radio, I hear this commercial all the time, and I heard it as a kid, and I hear it now. It talks about furniture restoration. And it's this commercial that talks about you can bring in your great-grandma's chair, and we'll fix it up for you. And there's this lady on there that talks about it, and she says, by golly, it's... Oh, you guys are totally different than 2:00. This is totally, nobody got it. Nobody ever heard of that commercial. Whatever radio station, wherever I hear that, some of you must have. By golly, it's Malali. What they specialize in is taking what your grandmother gave to you for you to give to your grandkids. That's what we want to do with this stool. I'm so thankful that 140 years ago, they started a Christian school, St. Marcus. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so excited about what's happened the last 15 years to grow it, but we can't let it slide away. We want to pass it on to our kids and our grandkids. We want 140 years from now for them to still be blessed by this institution. We can't lose the focus. Satan's going to work hard every day. We need to strengthen those three legs and strengthen the connection of those three legs to the seat. That's Christian education. That's what we're blessed with here at St. Marcus, whether you're directly involved or not. So today we celebrate Christian education, our teachers that we invest in, that we call to high standards, and we celebrate that our God will bless us. He will keep his promise. He will bless our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids and bless our land through his message and through his word, because he's our Lord, our God, and we love him. If you love Christian education, let me hear you say amen.